show. I'm your hurting host, and that's Stubby Schmidt and Zombo Combo, featuring our special guest, Jazzy Joyce. Let her know you love her with the band. What do you think, huh? Stubby, finally, two lovely ladies and just one guy, but who are they?
August 1990, you've been watching Turn It Up on MTV, and it is definitely not remote control. These days, you and your little sister play a pretend version of remote control using your dad's recliner, where you play all the parts, and she plays the dog's barking sound on her Casio keyboard whenever you throw to commercial break, and you've made her promise to never tell anyone you do that. But you don't care too much about all that, because your parents aren't home, your sister's in her room, and you've got friends coming over to talk about Madonna and chain restaurants. Yes, it's time to...
Listen to Sassy!
We already touched on it in the intro. Let's get into the August 1990 quiz. Rate your MTV-ness. This is a culturally biased quiz. Culturally biased against me and Dave, who did not grow up in America with access to MTV. Some of these answers made their way to me by cultural osmosis. A lot of them were like, I have no fucking idea at all. So I guess I'll go first. The question that I wanted to highlight was, when is MTV News on? This is not one I got right. The options are every hour on the hour, every hour 10 minutes to the hour, or every half hour starting on the hour.
All of those answers seem like too much.
Yeah.
Is MTV News moving so fast that mm-hmm. we need updates on the hour?
There was a lot of breaking news at the time.
Is it music news on MTV, or is it the news filtered through MTV, or is it both?
It's music news, mostly. I mean, Berlin Wall or whatever, like these things, but mostly music news.
Berlin Wall, whatever.
That's how I think. Hey, I'm Kurt Loder, just here for the whatevers.
I mean, they got into, like, in the Rock the Vote era, maybe there was more, like, where music crosses over with news. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I have no way of knowing that. You would have to know. The answer is every hour, 10 minutes to the hour. Because you can't, on the half hour and on the hour, that's when people are switching over from other shows. You can't hit them with news. There has to be something exciting happening. Not Kurt Loder telling you that Kurt Cobain died, spoiler. I think a news break every hour does seem like too much, in my opinion.
Well,
Pam disagrees.
It was a nice reset. That's how you knew what time it was. That's how you knew it was time to leave for school, because it was 10 till.
Fair. I also remember a lot of discourse, like, from this era and later that even made its way to me about, like, no, Kurt Loder's a really good journalist. And, like, how could you possibly know that? But whatever. Good for him, I guess.
I picked number 9. Question is, where is MTV's Sunday night show Buzz produced? A, Toronto, B, Los Angeles, or C, London? And the shout I made in my office when I saw, I was like, that's the name of this damn show. I know I've brought it up on this podcast before where I was like, I used to watch this weird thing. I taped it. I loved it. It was like clippy, collagey, a little creepy. It's Buzz. I had them, like, all 7 of them. Who knows how many there were. I found one online. Oh, man, this thing was so weird and great. And it was creepy. And it was international.
What made it creepy?
It was a lot of, like, what industrial became, right?
Oh, like, I see.
It was right before. So it was a lot of, like, clips and layering things, like talking about propaganda, talking about how art is theft and all art is the, you know, there's no original ideas. And then a little bit it was about music, but it was mostly, like, it was very alternative. I think it was on after 120 minutes. Yeah, it would be on late at night. And it was very flashy and buzzy and early, like, Trent Reznor-y, you know what I mean?
That does sound creepy.
Number 17, where does the Cure's Close to Me video take place? A, the forest. B, a chic Paris restaurant. Or C, in an armoire. Answer.
Yeah.
C, the video takes place in an armoire, apparently. Now, is this like a Narnia situation? Or are they all just, like, crammed up in an armoire trying to, like, perform stuff?
You didn't go watch? You didn't go watch?
The Cure was, as a whatever teen, I just like saw the people that listened to The Cure at school and then saw The Cure. I'm like, I don't think that's for me. I want to know if they're all jammed up in an armoire or whether it's a magical armoire. That's the question I'm asking.
Yeah.
I think both. It's been a long time. It's been a long time. But okay. Yes, I can imagine there's a clip at some point where you just see them all in there like, like that makes sense too. Mm-hmm. But it's magical.
Okay. All right. Doctor Who'd it. Got it. The next one, which Bruce Springsteen video did horror movie master Brian De Palma direct? And the options are Dancing in the Dark, I'm on Fire, or Glory Days. And if it's not I'm on Fire, which it is not, what are we even doing here? It feels like a video about a guy on fire from a horror director, but it's not. So
no,
why bother? The answer is Dancing in the Dark.
It sure is. Yeah.
Launching the Courtney Cox career.
Mm-hmm. What?
So there are some trick questions. I think there are some trick questions in this quiz.
Okay.
One, number one being the top one. In which Madonna video does a graveyard figure prominently? And it has Cherish, Like a Prayer, and Oh Father. It was kind of a deep cut, which will make you assume it's Like a Prayer. I'm just trying to defend Le Canadien.
That's one of the few I got right. I knew it was Oh Father. I did. I also got Brian De Palma right. I did not get in an armoire. That's one I would have never guessed.
That's just what you should have guessed.
I guess.
I mean, a forest would have worked, too. I could see the video being in a forest.
It's a very foresty kind of a song, I think. Mm-hmm.
German forest somewhere.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That is
how did y'all do?
Incorrectly.
How did y'all do?
Ooh, bad. I got 11. Though you have a healthy relationship with MTV, maybe, in the sense that I had none, you could probably get away with watching a little less. So could we. Dave?
I think I got most of the music ones right.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the obvious music ones. Actually, I shouldn't say I got them all right, because I have no idea where the heck the In Excess video for Never Tear Us Apart was shot. Prague, Warsaw, and Moscow. Like, I mean, I would say probably not Moscow at the time, but then it's a crapshoot after that.
Yeah.
I forgot to count, but it's going to be probably somewhere between a third and a half, I'm going to guess. So
yeah.
I forgot to count. What cool guy answer to the quiz? Like, did you take the quiz? We're in the car. Okay, do you want to rate your answers? Not really.
You're lucky I'm even here today, Pam.
Oh, my God. I'm sorry.
How did Pam do?
Pam missed one.
Wow.
And Pam missed one because for like the most like menopausal reason, I read it wrong. So I missed number 11. Who doesn't make a cameo appearance in Sam Kinison's Wild Thing video? And your three options are A, Billy Idol, B, Paul Stanley, or C, Jessica Hahn, which would have been probably a stumper anyway, except I thought that said Billy Joel. And then when I got it wrong, I was like, what the fuck was Billy Joel doing in the Wild Thing video? God, like I almost wrote in the show notes, like, Billy Joel, you failed me here.
No, he lives in Allentown. He's nowhere near.
And then today I saw it says Billy Idol. And then I was like, I still probably would have assumed Paul Stanley was in the Wild Thing video before Billy Idol.
I did. I got that one wrong, too, among many others.
The one that made me have to think is which of the following videos are in color? And it's like, I'm sorry, what?
The one that made you think.
It did.
Yeah.
I assumed that was a trick question, that none of them were in color.
I do not remember any video called Principal's Office by Young MC. So that felt like, oh, I don't know, but.
Gotta go to the principal's office. I'm in trouble.
That's how it goes?
Yep.
That's how the song goes?
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Wow. That's good.
By Young
get
DC.
There on the double.
Oh, shit.
Chewing gum, blowing bubbles.
He's freestyling.
It's just mostly
Pam.
Shots of Prague. I can't.
I think I've run
He's
out
spitting.
Of rhymes. Double, bubble, trouble. Gubble. Nubble.
Gubble.
Grubble.
Gubble.
Rubble.
Rubble.
Stubble.
Stubble. Been waiting so long, I've grown some stubble.
Mm-hmm.
I'm only 14, goddammit.
Staring at things like I'm a Hubble.
Hubble, nice.
Yeah, Hubble.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Got insight like the Hubble. Uh-huh.
Got insight like the Hubble? Is that what you said? That's good.
Thanks.
A plus, Dave.
I met a barrel.
Shit.
It had a cubble. That's not a word.
All right, we should.
That was subtle.
Guys, we got some calls, and once again, the most calls we got were about chain restaurants, so we saved those for last. Let's start with our teen life calls, starting with Alicia.
Hey guys, Alicia again, and you are right. I picked the wrong story to highlight when I called before. So yes, when I worked at FYE in the mall, the security guards were something else. There was the dude who used to brag about having three balls, and we would just call him Three Balls. Pretty sure I could pick him out if I saw him today, but I wish.
I mean, how could you not? One, two, three. Oh, it's Three Balls.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There was more to that character, but maybe I don't. There was another security guard who used to brag about how big...
Four balls. Oh, please be four balls. Please.
His daughter's breasts were. So that was fun. The foot action guys across the way from the mall were the super cool guys. And if ever there were customers who would bother us, we called foot action guys. They would take care of them. They were much cooler than the foot locker guys upstairs who wear like the referee shirts. They were not cool. It's all about the foot action guys. We did have a adult film porno section DVD in the store, and that was always a trip to have to, I don't want to say clean, but, you know, organize, which is funny when you're trying to make the spines fit, but it's like, how many busty babes are in this volume? We did once find an open condom on the floor in front of the porno section. That was, oh, God. And there's probably so much else that I have blocked out. I did leave eventually that store when the manager ended up being fired because they were selling things out of the back of the store that they should not have been. So I'm glad that's in the past, and hopefully that's a little bit better content for any upcoming stories and conversations. Thanks, guys. Bye.
Alicia's like, weren't there 13 Busty Babe volumes yesterday? The manager's like looking shifty eyed.
This was in a mall? This sounds illicit. What an illicit store for a mall.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I guess like the video, the adult little wall or something you have to go behind to.
Right. Or with the saloon doors.
The saloon doors. Yeah.
You know, you kind of walk in, you part the doors. There's a new sheriff in town. He's jacking off.
See.
That's a video in there as well.
Listen. I'm just glad that the people who are going to the video store to be titillated by the box art in the porno section are practicing safe sex, safer
the
sex practices.
Sheriff porno is called the six shooter.
Not the sex shooter?
Oh, well, yeah, okay.
Sorry.
No, that's good. I have to give it up for the six shooter.
All right, got another call. Also referring...
Wait. Justice of the Peace.
Nice.
I'll be interrupting with more cowboy porn throughout the episode.
I was going to say, there's like Ride 'em Cowboys right there.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You know,
True Grit.
Road hard, put away wet, as they say.
True Slit.
Oh, Dave.
What? It's a porno movie. Come on. We got to move. Excuse.
This is a mall, sir.
I didn't know you knew that term. I'm appalled. Especially when True Clit is right there. Literally.
Think you knew the word slit?
How would I not? It's a fucking word.
I know, but in the dirty way. Yeah. I like to think of you as an innocent, you know, in the forest, listening to The Cure shoot their video for Close to Me.
I probably know it from you complaining about it, Tara.
That's true.
My slit hurts today. This guy's a real pain in my slit. That's classic Tara.
Pam, do you have mics in this house? My God. It's like you're right here. Okay. Let's move on to another disgusting topic from Louisiana Sharon.
Hey, Dave, Tara, and Pam. This is Louisiana Shannon. Shout out to Louisiana Shannon. I am way behind in the podcast, so I am just now listening to the March 1990 Slumber Party, and I had to literally stop and call you when you asked what is the strangest thing you have extracted out of another person's nose. So I work in a psychiatric hospital, and it turns out that when you have an acute psychiatric illness, psychosis can make you take some leaps that really, when you think about it, are kind of logical. And one of those leaps is, if my nose is running, maybe I should stick something up it to stop it from running. So I have assisted in the extraction of the following things from people's noses. tissue paper, like actual tissue paper, not like a Kleenex. Cotton, of course. Kleenex, of course. The eraser off of a pencil, and also a piece of fabric that somebody had ripped off of their clothes and stuck up their nose. Thank you very much.
I have to think the eraser off a pencil is the most stuck up a nose object that exists in the modern world. It's the right size, perfectly.
It's the right size, but I think they shouldn't have pencils. I think that was
That
was a mistake on somebody's part.
Perhaps.
I bet the pencil eraser didn't make it to the official report, if you know what I mean. Because it should never have been in their hands.
Wow.
High poon.
All right, we also got some pop culture calls. Let's hear from Jenny.
Hi, everyone. This is Jenny from Chicago. I had to call in about the one to watch on Scott Garrison from the July 1990 issue. When I was in seventh grade, I found Tribes on TV and watched it every day after school. I developed a huge crush on Scott Garrison. I thought he was just so rugged and manly. And then all of a sudden the show was gone. I eventually forgot about Scott Garrison and Tribes altogether until a couple years ago popped into my mind. I found another YouTube channel that has all of the episodes, or at least almost all of them. I spent a week binge watching the whole series. It was really bad. And I kept waiting for Scott Garrison to show up. And it wasn't until about three episodes in that I realized the baby-faced little teenage boy was him and not this chiseled, rugged, manly person I thought he was when I was 12. If anyone else remembers the show and wants to watch, the channel called Tribes the Series. It was quite a ride, if anyone's interested. Anyway, thanks. Bye.
I sympathize with Jenny. We'll link that in the show notes because I did look it up. Of the experience of going back and seeing a crush object from your youth and being like, oh no, I feel like a dirty old woman now. So you're very brave. Thank you for your call.
Unfuckgiven? How about that one?
Yes, that's a pretty good one. That's a pretty good one.
All right. We also got a call from our beloved Megan.
Tara, the way you called me out so quickly and so correctly. My story was titled Patio Dances, as in dancing on a backyard patio, not an Irish last name, patio apostrophe dances. It was mostly a plotless meditation on a faded elementary school best friendship. I was so proud of one line that compared the dancer's wild, elastic limbs to wind whipping through the branches of the backyard willow tree. Is that worse than sentient wet pastrami? Well, I can't find it amongst my juvenilia, so I guess we'll never know how wrong those sassy fiction judges got it. This is New York Times bestselling author Megan McCafferty still holding a grudge 34 years later, but you do that.
As you should. Yes. So that was in response to our discussion of the terrible fiction winner with the talking pastrami story and me calling out to Megan to ask if she entered this contest. And she did. And whatever she wrote had to be better than what made it into the magazine. Good God. Let's hear from one of two Sarahs we'll be hearing from this month.
Stage cooch.
She doesn't want to hear from you anymore, Dave.
Hi, this is Sarah from St. Charles, Missouri. I am calling in defense of Madonna's Breathless album in the August 1990 issue. I owned that album, probably still do. It is a cheeseball good time. I love it. After hearing you guys talk about it, I dug it. It's so corny and so fun. Where else are you going to hear Madonna and Mandy Patinkin sing together? Like, it's great. I used to bust it out during road trips to really mess with people. So, thanks. Bye.
I mean, I think we agree. That's basically what I said about it. I know it's annoying, but I like it anyway. Mm-hmm. So Sarah and I are aligned. All right. Anything else, Dave, before we move on to our next category?
310 to you, mama.
Yes. What about just the good, the bad, and the ugly?
Or for a few dollars more.
There you go.
We got some calls about fashion, broadly speaking. Let's hear from Renee.
Hi, this is Renee from Pittsburgh, and I'm just catching up on the June-July slumber party episode, and my girl, Front Porch Kelly, was talking about what she terms a ridiculous duvet cover that her husband picked out, and I have to say, when I was searching for a duvet cover, I wanted one with like a cute little lemon pattern for the summertime, and so I Googled lemon duvet covers, and what came up was a duvet cover with a cartoon cow sitting down, hugging a giant lemon. And I bought it.
Did she hang up right then?
No, I just edited it.
And I bought it. Okay, thanks. I wish we could get a follow-up so we could actually see this thing. I'll try to find it. It may pop up on our socials, but yeah, thank you, Renee. That's awesome. We also heard from Bridget.
Hey, guys, this is Bridget from Atlanta. I'm just calling in to say that I did the CoverGirl ad contest. I was only like almost 10 years old when I did it, so I'm sure it was awful. I remember my mom took me to the grocery store and she let me buy one tube of CoverGirl Lip Slicks lip gloss in like the nude color. So I'm sure it was just, you know, chapstick pretty much for research for my ad. I don't remember what my ad looked like at all, but I do remember when they finally printed the one that won, it was for waterproof mascara. And it was like a girl standing at a payphone and it was raining, but like they had the raindrops kind of drawn in. And I remember thinking, wow, that's really good. I can see why mine wasn't picked and why that person won. So congratulations to them. And that's it. Love the show. Thanks, guys. Bye.
Oh, it feels good. Thank you for calling with that.
Yes, I love it when we say, if you did this, Collins, because sometimes you do. Mm-hmm. That's a thrill. And I love the idea of how confident you had to be at age 10 to be like, I am entering this ad contest and I think I really have a shot. And bless your mother for buying you the least makeup-y makeup she could find in order to assist you in this dream. I love it. We've put it off as long as we possibly can. We've arrived at chain restaurant corner. Let's start with...
It's fisting for dollars.
Let's start with Stacey.
Hi, Dave, Tara, and Pamela. It's Stacey calling back from Milton, Ontario. I laughed my butt off, Dave, at your response and invitation about joining your world tour of food poisoning joints in the States. And instead, you're going to come here for Eastside Mario's. We are all the way in. The Eastside Mario's you looked up is about a 6-minute walk from my house. And yes, they do have those veggies you can order on the side. My 15-year-old son will probably want to join us because he's often in the car when I'm listening to the podcast. And Dave, he thinks you are hilarious. So I think he'd get a kick out of coming. So anyway, hopefully we'll see you next time you're in the area and we'll meet up for some hey, bada boom, bada bing, which is not as dirty as it sounds.
We will absolutely do that whenever I actually get back to the area, which may be a long time. Your 15-year-old might be in college, but if and when that will happen. Also, boner tomahawk.
I just want to say that, you know, when I keep telling people what happened to all the stuff he wrote, sometimes they just call in and dox themselves, Tara. So I don't feel bad anymore. They're like, hey, I live right there. You can find me.
5 minutes can mean anything. Could mean 5 minutes on foot. Could mean 5 minutes in a car. There's a whole radius around the restaurant. You don't know.
Sure. I don't give actual addresses when I say where these people live and where they work and how to reach them.
The Ballad of Bustin' Tugs.
Jesus.
Hey there, Dave, Pam, and Tara. It's Courtney from Michigan. And this is a call that I had never thought I would make because I heard myself on some previous slumber parties and I sounded like a complete loon. And I vowed never to call that hotline again and I deleted it from my phone. But Eastside Mario's, guys. I never knew it was Canadian. There was one in the suburb, one over from my suburb here in little old Michigan when I was a kid. And me and my friends loved it so much that that's the place we wanted to go before all of the high school and middle school dances. So we would beg our parents to drive us to this neighboring suburb, which was not close. It was like a 35-minute drive so that we could have Eastside Mario's before the dances, be in there all dressed up with our dates and everything. And we loved it. And now I know it was Canadian. Thanks for that information. Bye, guys.
All right, Courtney, you're officially invited to me and Stacey's Eastside Mario Fest. Woo!
After this call, I was like, oh my God, what if it isn't Canadian? But it is. And congratulations to them for making it into Michigan. That's pretty far from the border. So, I mean, I guess not necessarily.
It's right on the border, actually.
You're right. Yeah. She didn't say what city she
was in.
Can't
get much closer.
But yes, I love the idea that this was considered a glamorous destination for high school students.
Yeah.
Because it's extremely average. But, you know, the heart wants what it wants. Sometimes it wants average pasta. Let's hear from Kelly.
Hi, guys. This is Kelly in Rhode Island. So I actually grew up in Tucson, Arizona, like Dan Cassino. First of all, I'm super excited to hear about the Sweet Tomatoes reopening. I know that was a big tragedy for a lot of my Facebook friends when Sweet Tomatoes closed. And if I get enough lead time, maybe I can come meet you guys there, because I haven't been to Tucson in 7 years. And my aunt and uncle still have a lovely house there that they rent out as an Airbnb if anyone wants a place to stay when we go for the Great Sweet Tomatoes adventure. Hit me up on Discord. But also, I just wanted to say, you know, I did grow up in Tucson. We did have rodeo days. I love telling all my East Coast friends that we got 2 days off a year for rodeo days, because that makes Tucson sound like a weird, exotic location. Mike's high school must have been a little more city than Dan Cassino's, because we did not have kids actually ride horses to the school. Thanks so much for the podcast. You guys are great. And I'll talk to you later. Bye.
So we have an update on this regarding Dan Cassino and Sweet Tomatoes. Dan was on our sister podcast, Extra Hot Great, recently, and we'll link his episode in the show notes.
First of all, before you get into the reason why Dan didn't go to Sweet Tomatoes, we have to establish that Dan is hoity-toity.
His parents are both, I believe, like chefs. So,
and he's a professor, and he travels the world and all this. He's a fancy guy, is what I'm saying. I'm pretty sure, like, as a snack, he eats those birds where you have to put the cloth over your head so God doesn't see you. You're like one of those guys.
Uh-huh.
Anyways, back to Sweet Tomatoes.
We allegedly, we have never witnessed Dan eating ortolan. We cannot. Please don't sue us, Dan.
He sends me photos all the time. Sunday breakfast.
Anyway, he recently went to a visit to visit his family in Tucson after the reopening of Sweet Tomatoes. And so we asked him when he was on the call, did you go? And he said, he didn't even say no. He said, it's in a really bad part of town. And like, it could be in the demilitarized zone. If there's a Sweet Tomatoes, I'm fucking going. I don't care how bad it is.
Yeah, it's like Children of Men, except instead of the baby, it's Sweet Tomatoes. You just got to get there and make it happen.
That's right.
It's exactly like Children of Men.
Yeah. So, Dan, do better. I'm disgusted. But he also said, from everything he's heard, and so obviously this is a topic of conversation in Tucson, as it should be, that it's exactly as it was. It's come back just as good as ever. Interpret that as you see fit.
What if they had God's wrath birds at Sweet Tomatoes as something you put on your salad? Maybe he'd go then.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Or, you know, just a little dollop of this soft serve right on top of their heads.
Like the sundae?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's adorable. Like a little hat. And God's like, all right, this one you could have.
I can't get mad at this. It's too cute. All right. Let's get to our final call.
So this is Sarah from Chicago-ish. I recently went to a Red Lobster and had a very similar experience to your sad Olive Garden experience. The only lights that were on were in the bar and a small, small area of the dining room. By the way, it is the middle of the day and you might think that I am front porch caffeinating drunk on beers. I am not. It is a Monday and it's spring break. I'm super done with my child. It's day one. Anyhow. I just joined Sassy Patreon because I blew through like 30 episodes over the weekend trying to tidy up things around my house and realized that was definitely worth my monthly contribution. You guys are the best. And once I figure out how to join Discord, I will be on there as often as I can muster. All right. Have a good one. Bye.
It's easy to get on Discord. Just follow the instructions. A couple clicks and you're there.
Mm-hmm. And we'd love to see you.
Absolutely. I know it still feels like you're on spring break, but hopefully you're on the other side of it by now. That was some day one. And like she called from inside her closet under the winter clothes, hiding.
Yeah. She needs to go to Rancho Relaxo. Congratulations to Front Porch Kelly on becoming a verb.
Mm-hmm. She's the Xerox of Listen to Sassy.
I feel like she would love that legacy, honestly.
Yeah.
Next time! We will be cracking open the September 1990 issue and talking about its teen life topics. What do gangs have in common with sororities? How far will we get in the Puppy Mills story? What did What He Said say about girls who dress provocatively, and more? For my plug this week, I'm going to plug taking time off work and going to see your friends who live far away, because we're going to do that this week and I'm really looking forward to it. So if you can, you should.
My plug this week is for the series finale of the Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show, coming to you May 13th, so in about a week or so after you hear this, maybe a week and a half. It is a special look at an episode without editing, so it's all the stuff in between, all the stupid shit we do, all the practicing we do before you actually hear, so you can see what goes into every episode of that show with the finale. So check that out, usaquizshow.com. Well, you can.
Love it. That hotline that you heard everyone on is 720-SASSY. Go leave us a voicemail about the show or the magazine. We may play it on a future slumber party. You could be as cool as all the people that you just heard in this episode. You can also record a message for us directly in your browser. That is listentosassy.com/hotline. You can find more information about the podcast, visual aids for all of our episodes, and contact info for all of us at our website, and that website again is, as you can probably guess, listentosassy.com.
Thank you so much for listening, and we will see you next time.
Yeah.
Stage cooch.
She doesn't want to hear from you anymore, Dave.